I'm back, baby. In the words of Elton John. No, just kidding. You guys know the song? So, I've been gone for 3 months and 2 weeks. And it's all thanks to you folks. And it's been an incredible journey, and in fact, I don't want to steal any thunder, but I'm sure my wife and I will be decompressing and just letting you know what has happened in us, through us, over the last 3 months. But it has been incredible, and if there's one thing that I did all sabbatical long, it was brag on all of you and brag on the leadership here, because what has happened is you guys have respected the sabbatical to the ninth degree, the nth degree. And it's been beautiful, and it's been weird from going 11 years in ministry. It was 11 years ago, August 15th, that we moved here. And running hard and trying to plant a church and trying to get a church going from scratch and trying to get everything moving. To have this sabbatical was just a huge blessing. And you all and the leadership here just did a stellar job. When I talked to other pastors, their first question was, "What's wrong? They sent you away for 3 months. You must be broken. You need fixed." I said, "That's probably true." However, they were just gracious enough to give it. And you can just see it on the other pastors' faces, the longing for them to be taken care of as well as you have taken care of me. And the beauty of it is, and my family, my children and my wife. And the beauty of it is we are a small church. We're not this mega church. You know, I went to a mega church on my sabbatical, and I got there the week after their pastor just went on a six-month sabbatical. And I said, "I got hosed by 3 months. You can take six?" And then I talked to another guy who had been on a year sabbatical. I'm like, "What is going on?" We're getting there, all right? No, but I wanted to say thank you very much, and it's exciting to be back. It's weird. I was sitting over there while the music was playing during communion, and I started to get nervous. The butterfly belly? Like I'd never spoke in front of you before, which that's probably true for a lot of you here. I've not spoken in front of you before. In 3 months, a lot changes. And so in 3 months, I come back and I ask the leadership, "Where are our people at? Where are we at? Where are we headed? What's going on?" Because 3 months is a big gap, right? And then God drops some awesomeness on me. So apparently, he knows where you're at. Surprise. In case you didn't know. Today we're talking about life changers. I went and looked up life changers on the internet, and this is what I got from this website called awesomeinventions.com. 16 incredible products that will change your life, and this is the first one. Is your life changed right now? Look, this is a sat nav that projects its direction onto your windshield. This will change your life. The second one is this. If you get some of your best ideas in the shower, then promptly forget them. You'll need this waterproof notepaper. Everybody's getting these ideas. I mean, they're just coming, right? In the shower. This third one, you can turn your faucet into a water fountain. Mind blown, right? Fourth one is these batteries can be recharged by your USB port in your computer. Does anybody use actual batteries anymore? Doesn't everything come with like rechargeable batteries? Craig does. Craig does for his word processor. Yeah. Yeah. And the fifth one is never fight about leaving the toilet seat up. Ladies and gentlemen, if your husband is too lazy to do this, he sure as hell, whoops, isn't going to put his foot on that and open your seat, all right? It's just not going to happen. You'll still be doing that. It's been 3 months, but some things haven't changed. I'm sorry. And just in case, if you need to use the bathroom at night, Craig, okay? These glow-in-the-dark strips will help you. But to me, I think that takes a lot of the fun out of the game. when you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh, I didn't hit it at all, right? Right? But this is the life changer, right? This one's my favorite. This thumb ring makes it easier and more comfortable for you to keep pages of your book open. Now, who's an avid book reader here? Tell me how taxing it is to hold your book open. Is it really awful? Get a Kindle, okay? All right. Forget seeing Jesus on a slice of toast. Now you can actually get your own face printed on toast. These are mocking, you know, but I think this is my new Christmas gift to everybody in my family. It's going to be amazing, right? This device here reseals chip bags in case you don't like steel chips. I actually would probably really like that. No lock on your door, no problem. This portable lock will secure almost any door. It's literally a wedge that you put in your door. I'm not really sure how that works, right? This pop-out socket is neater and safer than any conventional multi-way. Yeah, see, look at. You guys are all on Amazon right now, aren't you? Ordering all this stuff, right? Never again cut a subpar slice of pizza. Now, I don't know of anyone who just cuts a slice out of a piece of pizza, right? I think they just made it harder. Matt? Pizza man? Easier or harder? You want one of those? See, I usually just fold the pizza like a taco. And then that's my pizza. Yeah, yeah. Make the most out of your cookies and milk experience with this Oreo dunking device. Fingers? That's a joke. Check this thing out. Look at that. It's kind of terrible. It looks like a dental tool. A little bit, right? Amazing. My life has changed. This segmented bowl is great for dunking cookies, holding chip and dip, or keeping your cereal separated from milk so it retains a good crunch. The way they described these on the internet, I thought, this is the dumbest thing. Who wants to separate their cereal from their milk? Like, there's a time for eating dry cereal, I get that, but why have them together side by side and not, I don't know. I'm giving it too much thought. You can have the most epic balloon water fight with this device that allows you to fill multiple balloons. I think we've all seen these. Those are a lifesaver. And this one, this LED faucet attachment, indicates the temperature of your water, whether it's running cold, which is blue, or hot, which would be red. Your life's changed, right? Everybody needs one of these things. What sparked this teaching for me, I was visiting a friend. And I was sitting right next to him on the love seat, and I looked down at his shoes, and I said, hey, your shoes are called Hey Dudes? And he said, bro, you don't even know. These are the most comfortable shoes you're ever going to wear. You don't even know. In fact, I'm going to get online right now and order you a pair. I've never had this happen, by the way. I look at him, and I was like, what? He's like, what's your address, man? I wouldn't tell him, so he looked to my wife and said, what's your address? So she starts divulging secrets. And he takes his shoe off. These are it, by the way, okay? He takes his shoe off, and he says, feel how light this is. I'm like, that's pretty light. So they arrive, and they're nice shoes. They're okay shoes, but they're a glorified slipper. The way they build these is really light slippers that you can go outdoors with. I think those have already been invented. Right? But when I was texting with him, he had sent me the tracking information and said, hey, these shoes, here's when these shoes are coming. And I said, awesome. And then he said, life changers. Life changers, man. You won't even know. I get the shoes. I take a picture of them on my feet. And I said, these are comfy. Thank you very much. And he said, my condolences to your other pairs of shoes. But as he was trying to describe this scene to his wife, because his wife was perplexed that he is sitting there ordering me shoes, what are you doing? His statement was this, if I have something that I find of such great value, that I want other people to experience. And I know Adam's not going to go buy these shoes, he said. I know you won't just go order these shoes. I don't know if you've seen, but I kind of wear the same thing every day. I know you're not going to go buy these shoes, but I want you to experience the comfort that I experience. And I want to do that for anybody. And his wife looked at him and said, when have you done that for anybody? It got a little uncomfortable. And then my mind just started turning in this life changers comment. And this, if I've experienced something so great, other people have to experience this. I thought, man, if that doesn't sound like the gospel, I don't know what does. The problem is some of us, instead of, let's classify Jesus as the life changer. Can we do that? Okay. The problem is a lot of us will have an experience with the life changer. And then we walk out of these doors and live an unchanged life. We come time and time again to the reunion, and we get bogged down by life changes. Not the changer, but the changes in life. We have a poor experience with someone or something. I don't know if you heard. I love that when those are the comments, right? I don't know if you heard, but. And I listen to well-meaning Jesus people. Not that life isn't hard. Not that life doesn't suck sometimes. Not that life doesn't just crush you. But I've heard some well-meaning Jesus people just tell me tales of woe again and again and again. Nothing ever gets better. Nothing ever moves forward. All the while, they tell me, I love Jesus. Love me some Jesus. And then we go home, and nothing changes. We constantly look at the life changes in our world, and we get bogged down by them. We constantly search for shoes that are the magic fix, right? Or a pizza scissors, right? We're constantly looking all over the place. We're constantly telling people about these things. We're constantly telling people about the magic we've found in, the comfort that we've found in, if you only had one of, and we forget about the changer, Jesus. And we'll come to church and we want changes, but we don't want the changer. Or we're confused about what that should look like in our life. We're confused that the gospel somehow isn't this magic dust that we sprinkle on our lives and everything's better. If you're here for the first time waiting to hear that, I'm sorry, you'll never hear it here. Or that the gospel voids any skin in the game for you. That you just sit back and life happens around you and you are a non-active participant. And when I say you, I mean us. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm pointing fingers at me. This is a convicting thing. The beginning of my sabbatical, I started with this. I read 6 books in 8 days. Man, if I had one of those thumb things. My thumb has never been the same since, right? I read 6 books in 8 days. The next week, I flew to Brea, California. And I went to this thing that I had no idea what it was supposed to be. It turns out it's this session of major psychological counseling. If I would have known what that was supposed to be, I wouldn't have went. Anybody else? I get there, and it's this gap training is what they call it, and the seminar I attended was called Reveal. And what it revealed was, is I really enjoyed cynicism, sarcasm, And by really enjoy it, I mean that's what I adopted into my world because of life changes. And so I start operating in a way that's not reflective of the changer. These are going to get confusing words, right? I start operating in a way that doesn't reflect the changer. And if I got around any leadership and they asked me how things were going, I would tell the same story. I don't know if you heard. Tell the same story of woe over and over, year in, year out. Tell the same story of hurt and burn. Because believe it or not, like my buddy Raleigh Hutton says, behind every smile is a set of teeth. And on any given moment, I'm going to get your smile or I'm going to get bit by you and vice versa from me. I don't like that about people. I don't like that about humanity, but that is truth that we need to acknowledge. And so I begin to operate out of cynicism, which then transfers into my leadership, my parenthood, my husbanding, every piece of my world. All the while, I love me some Jesus. I've been changed by the changer. And then all of a sudden, there's this glaring error in me, in how I operate, in how I love, in how I choose to love in future relationships with you, how I choose to engage with you or not engage with you, or the world around me, or my neighbors, or. And it's incredible when you read in Acts 2, there is this monumental thing that happens with a mass load of people. And all of a sudden, these disciples are all sitting around. The apostles are all sitting around in the day of Pentecost. And it's funny because the way in which it describes it is they're literally just sitting around. Like, I don't know what they were doing. Just hanging out, right? They're sitting around, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, this is what Jesus gave us when he left us to do this work, when he left us to become disciples and to go out and talk about the great thing that we found, the thing that we don't want anybody else to live without, that we don't want to live without. The Holy Spirit comes unannounced. He didn't even knock on the door. Pretty rude. He just busts in, and all of a sudden, these flaming tongues. If this doesn't sound freaky, I don't know what does, right? These flaming tongues are on each one of their heads. They just settle on their heads. And they begin prophesying. They begin teaching. Not only do they begin teaching, but they begin teaching in just vast amounts of languages of the people that are there in the city square, in this marketplace, to hear them. And these people are like, whoa, aren't these people from here? Aren't those people from Wyoming? How are they talking Swahili? How are they talking Spanish? How are they talking Greek? How are they talking? What is going on? Others. Cynicism, sarcasm. We're like, those dudes are drunk. Those guys are drunk. And I love it because one of their disciples, Peter, gets up and he's like, no, we're not drunk. It's only the third hour in the day. Now on the sixth hour, you can question that because old John over here gets a little tipsy. I don't know. You know, that's not a biblical account, all right? But I find it fun. Oh, no, it's just the third hour of the day. They're not drunk. And then he gets up and he lays the gospel out. He lays out the good news, which you just heard from Craig Aldridge, which you just heard from Craig Johnson. Don't confuse them. They both have beards and whatever. Okay? You just heard the good news preached twice. Now you're hearing it preached a third time. He lays out the good news, and what happens is just insanity. Insanity. Let me read it to you. In verse 40, it says this, And with many other words, he, Peter, solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who had received his word were baptized. We talked about that, didn't we, this morning? And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. Logistically, that sounds like chaos to my leader brain. What do we do with 3,000 people? Right? But this massive explosion happens when the Holy Spirit comes in unannounced and the message is preached with power of the Holy Spirit. And what I find interesting is this is where the life change happens. This is where we see it accounted for. This is where we see people saying, "Oh, this is what this is." But they don't just say it, they're living it. It says this in Acts 2:42-47, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These people were hungry for the word of what's going on within Scripture. They didn't have it like we have it today. They had these letters which we have today. They had instruction. They had Jesus' words. Many of these people, I've been reading through my LTG reading, and I've been reading in the New Testament, and I have been reading chronologically, so it takes everybody's account and puts them all together. And I just finished with Jesus raising from the dead this morning. But I've also been reading through Scripture with my family, the New Testament in a year. That's not very much reading. But I've been reading this with my family, and it's been beautiful to see this whole progression and to hear Jesus' words, and then to go back and see him in real time with these people. These are the same people that probably heard him on the mountain somewhere teaching. These are the same people that were yelling, "Crucify him! Kill him!" These are the same people. And 3,000 of them said, "Oh man, this is real." They looked at the life changer and said, "This is real." And then their lives reflected it through continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Does anybody know what fellowship is? We have a hard time with that here. We're constantly talking about community. We're constantly talking about getting to know your neighbor. We're constantly trying to get you out into your neighborhoods to love your neighbor. We're constantly just trying to get you out of your house to engage with anyone. We're constantly trying to get you to engage with people outside of our community through the things that we do, through moving ministry. Now you're saying, "Adam, life is busy and I ain't got time for that." I said that too once. It was a lie. We continually try to engage. We continually try to call. Because it's reflected here. What does life change look like? What does the changer actually do in us? Well, fellowship. The breaking of bread together. Does anyone know what that means? You eat. Anybody hate eating here? Everybody like eating here? Does anybody like eating with friends here? Does anybody like eating with people that may not know Jesus here? You do it all the time, okay? The breaking of bread, enjoying a meal with people, getting to know people in some of the most intimate ways. Food is an amazing thing to do that with. Prayer, talking with Jesus. "God, what would you have me do?" is a dangerous prayer. "God, where would you have me serve here in this body?" is a dangerous prayer, because God will answer it. "God, should I really love my neighbor?" That's a stupid prayer, because he already said it, right? Yeah, the answer is yes. "God, should I hate anyone?" Another stupid prayer, right? "God, should I look down on anyone? God, should I be this way in my workplace?" God, should I be this way in my family, with my children? God, should I be this way in my marriage with my spouse? Talking with God, hearing from God through His Word, doing it together with us, with the community of Laramie, eating together. This is true life change. Goes on to say this, everyone, not just some, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. When's the last time you felt awe when it came to the changer? It's quiet. We played a song today that I didn't care for. It has nothing to do with Louise. Has everything to do with the song. And it had some lyrics that I don't, it takes me a while to come around to. And then during worship, it broke me. It broke me. To understand what I was singing, to have that sense of awe, to understand, and oh, yeah, this is true. This is true about the changer. This is true about me. And it left me in a state of awe, thinking, how can I look at this? How have I looked at this every time we've played it and never caught it? Never understood it. Bucked it. Didn't like singing it. Didn't like playing it. When's the last time you felt awe? And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And those who had believed were together, again, that community aspect, and had all things in common. That is weird to me in this day and age. Everybody got their Facebook account. Everybody got their Twitter account. Everybody is their own individual person. These people seem to get together and have everything in common under the changer. By being changed by the changer. It doesn't say they all agreed about everything. Just a bunch of lemmings. They had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions. Adam, this is crazy. And were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. If there's one thing I know about us, we have done a great job of when there's need, we rise to the occasion. Whitewater. I'm not saying we lack all of these things. I'm not saying that we are void of all of these things. I'm saying these are things that are evidence of being changed by the changer, and these are things we need to reflect on. Does my life resemble this? Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Uh-oh, we got to go to each other's houses. They were taking meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. A lot of times we've talked from the stage, go meet someone new here and take them out to lunch. And what happens is everybody's super edgy before I say grace and peace, and then it's a mad dash for the door to see who can get out the fastest. So you don't have to talk to anyone. Don't lie about it. Oh, I had something to do on a Sunday. It's a mad dash for the door because we are all individualized and we don't want to hang out in people's homes. We don't want to get to know people. We don't want to engage. Maybe it's you. When I was on sabbatical, I was that guy. We visited churches. I sat in the back row and we were the first ones out. In a mega church, that's a foot race. And my wife was like, what is going on with you? Normally you like to, I don't know anybody here. Let's just go. Not even going to give community a chance because we don't come here. We'll never come back. Doesn't matter. Until I get my year-long sabbatical next year. I'm just kidding. They were taking meals together with gladness. With gladness. They enjoyed it. I know community can be taxing at times. I know not everybody gels with everybody, right? But they're glad to do it. And they do it with a sincere heart, not a begrudging, oh, you don't want to know who invited us over for dinner? Let's go make an appearance. Anybody ever said that? I have. Now you're thinking, was that me? Praising God and having favor, check this out, with all the people. Having favor with all the people. These are Jesus' people. We're watching a show right now. It's a superhero show. What's it called? Do you remember? The Boys. And how they paint Christianity makes me crawl out of my skin because it's true. There is a facet of Christianity that is just like that. And I want to say, not mine, but where are my glaring errors in this? These people seem to have favor with all people. How do we do that? I'm not here to give you that answer. But I am here to say you need to go to the changer with that. If that's not you, and say, God, what is this in me? And this is the last sentence in this. It says, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the evidence of life change that comes from following the changer, knowing the changer. This is kingdom life. These are things like when we talked about, when Craig talked about last week, the soul training plan, writing one for your own life. It sounds stupid. I'll be the first to admit that. Anybody that talks to me and always asks me, have you been journaling? Yep. That's the only appropriate time to lie, okay? No, I'm kidding. You should start journaling your prayers. Yeah, I will. But watching this and seeing the gaps even in my own soul training plan when sitting down and trying to write what it is that I've already got, okay? The nice thing is those that have been changed by the changer, I'm not saying you are just completely out in the wind and don't have any of this figured out. But the things that lack, the things that there's gaps in, the things that God is calling you into that you're, whoa! I'll give you everything. I'll write a check, but I won't give you that. I got plenty of time for video games, but I ain't got time to surf. I got plenty of time to share my woes, but don't you ask me to share any joys in that. So as we look together to the changer on all of these things, every piece, we can reference it in Acts. What does this changed life look like, God? And I don't think this is an exhaustive list. Uh-oh. There might be more. God might have more great things for us to do, to be. And the beauty of it is he's called you individually for something very specific within community. Within this body, without in the community here in Laramie, to have favor with people. He's called you to do that. He's called you to live this life out to the fullest extent that other people might get the same experience you have. It'd be so much easier if we could just buy him a pair of shoes. You've been changed. This is the direction that we're heading continually within this God Dreams process. We're going to talk about a scary word called evangelism. It's all of these things. We probably don't even have to talk about it now, but we're going to, okay? How do we live this out? How do we be this? How do we quit looking at the changes and look at the changer? God, that's our question to you this morning. That's our question that we want answered in our hearts. And God, I'm praying the people that don't care and say, I'm not asking that question, you break through that anyway. Just as you did at Pentecost with, with the Holy Spirit coming in and not knocking and saying, this is how it's going to be. God, do that with us this morning. God, may we be a people that are filled with joy. May we be a people that are continually devoting ourselves to your teachings and to fellowship here and outside of this body, with other churches even, with the community here in Laramie and just eating with one another. God, may we be a church that just continually looks to you first, not second, not third, but first and foremost. God, for those of us who have not experienced a sense of awe in you, bring that. Break us. God, show us the many wonders and signs that you've got for us and for the people here. God, give us the things in common that we can worship with one heart. God, may we understand that everything that you've given is not ours, but it's yours, and you want to distribute that how you see fit. God, let us be open-handed with everything that we have. We may share them. God, for those of us that just go home and close our door, may we open that door to everybody. God, may we take meals with people together with gladness and sincerity of heart, never forgetting to praise you. And God, the favor with all people, we crave that. So we ask that you subtract anything within us that hinders that. God, we pray that you add to our number here. And it's not our number, it's your number. We pray you add to the church here in the world through us looking at the changer first. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for the people that are here to hear it this morning. We want to give you everything that we've got because we know you'll do great things. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said. It's been good being back with you. If this is your first time, come back. Things change. Caleb, our normal band leader, comes back, I think, next week. He'll be here. He's an odd one. Come back and find out what I mean, and you'll be like, yeah. But he's a good one. He's a good odd one, right? We often have different pastors speaking. I know I was just on a 3-month sabbatical, but I love to share the pulpit with people because your stories, what God is doing within you and the truths God has revealed to you matter and count. So we share that with you. We share that with our leadership. It's a beautiful thing, and thank you for those that were able to take that and move. I heard many great things from many different people just having those voices here. It's a blessing, all right? If you need prayer for anything, we've got Cindy standing here and nobody standing over here, so Cindy is the prayer person, okay? So if you need prayer for anything, grab Cindy, come talk to me, come talk to Craig, both of them, Louise, who was on stage, anybody that was on stage, Sherry, anybody, all right? Go grab Shane Tobin, who's our guest soundboard runner today. Yeah. One. Now he's never going to come back. Go talk to Shane, yeah. Any of us, all right? I'm rambling. I love you. Grace and peace.